This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me be very clear. Violence or threats of violence has no place in our society. What happened to Paul Pelosi was wrong. I reached out to the speaker. I called her. I know she was on a plane coming back to California, but I was able to text with her to tell her about our prayers for Paul. Thankfully, he's going to be okay, but thankfully the attacker is a deranged individual, but thankfully he was arrested.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? That was House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy, and that's exactly what happened. The man who allegedly attacked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, with a hammer after breaking into their home in San Francisco was carrying zip ties with him, and he had also duct tape and some other things that were carried along with him, and he was looking for Nancy Pelosi. He demanded to know, where's Nancy, where's Nancy? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, a lot of people are talking about this still. This happened just a couple of days ago. He is going to make a full recovery, according to doctors. That's the good news. People on both sides of the aisle reaching out to Pelosi, of course. Not a surprise there on that one. The guy, as McCarthy said, was out of his mind, deranged. Paul DePepe is his name, 42 years old, going after 82-year-old Paul Pelosi. And luckily, law enforcement comes in just a few minutes into, as soon as they get a call, or as soon as they're dispatched, and they're able to apprehend him. But he attacks the speaker's husband right when they're there and saying, put the weapon down, whatever it was, which was the hammer. And now it's about the repercussions afterwards. And then, of course, there's a lot of conversation about politicians and the threats that they receive, all the politicians on the Hill. And there's something like 9,000 credible threats, which, wow, 9,000. And daily there's other threats that come in, but 9,000 that could be taken seriously. So you just know the vulnerability now in the times that we live in. And like I said, clearly this was somebody who had been picked up for other things, was not a well person, and decided that she was the target and went after her instead, assaulted the husband. One thing about this story that I think is so key is he kind of spoke in code to alert the 911 operator of the hammer attack. He was able to get open his phone and leave the phone open while they were while the whole thing was going on, and said, what's going on? Why are you here? What are you doing to me? And then the 911 operator was really alert, immediately knew something was completely wrong, and went and dispatched a crew. Where sometimes when you can't really hear in the background, it sounds odd, they make that decision as to whether there's something life-threatening going on, and they're not talking to the person. They can't say, where are you, what's happening? You know, none of that is going on there. So good for that dispatcher for thinking that there was something here, and for him opening that phone and doing that, because that probably, you know, may have saved his life. He ends up being rushed into surgery to repair a skull fracture and serious injuries to his right arm and hands, but doctors say he'll make a full recovery. So imagine if that hadn't have happened. Another sad thing that happened over the weekend was this event in Seoul, Korea. Every year they celebrate Halloween, and a lot of young people go out and celebrate, and there hadn't been big celebrations for a couple of years because of COVID. So it turns into a disaster. a crowd surge where people fall like dominoes, can't breathe, can't get up, and it leads to 154 people dying, 133 injured. Some of those aren't expected to survive. There were two Americans that were part of the death toll, part of the people that died as a result of that. Just really a shame when you think of how that happens. And when we talk about these crowd surges and that they were so young and there wasn't anything that could be done. There weren't enough people there that guards or whatever, people that were patrolling, knowing that this is one of those kind of party areas, and they're investigating it, but you can see what would happen. You're in tight spaces, the crowd starts to move, and then people are on top of each other. And then before you know it, you get that surge situation, and there's people that just cannot get up, and it's completely too late for them. And that's exactly what happened there. Hey, coming up in this hour, we will go into the man cave. It was a weekend of sports, the great escape for some of us. So we'll go talk a little sports coming up in our next segment. And then two really great interviews, rewinds from earlier last week in case you missed them. One of the people that I'm talking to is a guy that it is so brilliantly. He worked for government accountability offices where his job was to break down really complicated issues. And he decided, you know what, people don't understand the Bible. I'm going to break down the Bible. I'm going to make this flow, make people understand certain things that happen in New and Old Testament. And because he had so many decades of doing what he did in simplifying it, that's exactly what he did with the Bible. And I think it's fascinating. Can you imagine the oldest book in the world trying to take it and make it into something that's simplified, not dumbed down, but simplified? It's his story to me, incredibly fascinating. So anyway, we'll chat with him coming up, and especially in case you missed it, I think it was one of the big re-racks from the past week as far as the conversations go, for sure. You know, I talked about what happened in Seoul, Korea. There was another bridge collapse, so that led to people dying, but it was strange. The video, I saw some video of this, about 130 some people died and a bunch of people were injured. There was this it was almost like a tourist attraction for people that would go there, but a century-old cable suspension bridge just collapsed into a river in the western Indian state that sent people just falling into the water, something they weren't expecting, obviously. And somebody we live in the era of phones. The phones were up, and somebody captured that moment where it almost looked like it just kind of fell into the water, but they were plunged into a cable. There was actually a cable connected to it, and it actually snapped, and that's what led to that. It was wild kind of seeing it, looking at it, because it didn't look like it. It looked like, oh, there's people. Look at this, is cool. Look at the background in this. And, of course, this is where people go back and forth, and people that come and visit go there. And then, just like that, snaps off. You know, we've talked about bridge safety, pedestrian bridges, and clearly other overpasses, etc., the safety of those in the United States. And it was eerie to see that snap off. All right, we're headed to the man cave next. I'll meet you there.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. options. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with VantagePoint.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Or the Woe Man Cave, or both. So it was just one of those weeks in the NFL. Nobody nailed the score this time around, and everybody picked the Jets, and it was New England in that game. So, wow, that was rough. But we look at the rest of the NFL. How about the Broncos overseas beating the Jags 21-17? I just saw bits and pieces of this game. But the Broncos, I think, desperately needed a win to go to 3-5 because I think a lot of the fans were losing confidence in what is happening here. There were people that were calling for the coach to be axed. Even I don't know that they turned things completely around, but it was a win for them, and they needed a win. Let's put it that way. Russell Wilson, just a touchdown, 252 yards passing, but they needed a win. The Panthers and the Falcons, this one went down to overtime. It was a crazy game back and forth. I saw a lot of this. The Falcons ended up winning it in OT, 37-34. So they're 4-4 on the season. The Cowboys with a big win, 2 for Dak since he's been back. And Dallas in a crazy NFC East, 6-2 now, knocking off the Bears, 49-29. Boy, if we broke down this game, there were some crazy miscues by the Bears, that's for sure. And for Dak Prescott, is a pretty solid game. just there were a lot of efficient things that happened for him. You can see the rhythm is coming back after he hurt his thumb. And the defense did well, and they were able to capitalize on some turnovers, and that's where the Bears really fell apart. The Dolphins came back. They beat the Lions 31-27. Tua, everybody always wants to know about him, 382 yards passing and three touchdowns. They should have beaten the Lions. The Lions are 1-6, but they almost didn't. They did, though, when it counts. Hey, all that matters is in the end, you win. And they won. What's going on with the Cardinals? The Vikings is probably the other side of this. How about the Vikings? My hub said to me today, he is a huge Cowboy fan, and we're both football fans, and we're watching games. And he said, wow, did anyone expect the Vikings to be this good? What's going on with the Cardinals? And the answer is ask any Viking fans, and they'll tell you they thought for sure the Vikings were going to be good. And they capitalized when they needed to. And, you know, KJ Osborne with a huge touchdown, even with somebody all over his back. And the Cardinals couldn't muster it up at the end, and that's pretty much what happened in that game. It was this tale of two different halves in a way. The Saints shut down the Raiders. I mean, just shut them down. The Raiders couldn't capitalize at all in the few moments they had. The Saints capitalized a lot. 24-0. Are you kidding me? In front of the home crowd, which Who Dat Nation is thrilled because they needed the win. They really needed the win. Kamara was the star. He wowed the crowd for sure with three touchdowns. And, he was a difference maker, and the Saints did what they had to do. The Patriots beat the Jets. I said this was our game of the week. Patriots are now 4-4. The Jets are 5-3, 22-17. New Yorkers who are Jets fans weren't happy about that because they paid the big bucks to sit in MetLife Stadium and watch a loss. Zach Wilson had a couple of interceptions, three interceptions. That made a big difference there. The Eagles are perfect 7-0, beating the Steelers 35-13. Jalen Hurts looks so good, 285 passing yards, four touchdowns. He moves the chains however he has to move them, and they got it done. Titans beat the Texans 17-10. Derrick Henry with the Titans franchise record for touchdowns. He had a couple of them, racked up more in this game, thus the record. The Commanders beat the Colts 17-16. They're 4-4. The Commanders are on the season. Taylor Heinicke, he threw for 279 yards and a touchdown in that win. The 49ers really stuck it to the Rams, 31-14. Christian McCaffrey, that's the way they made the move for Christian McCaffrey, does it all, catching, running, whatever it was, but he ended up with a touchdown for San Francisco, so 31-14, and Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't even supposed to be with this team, is the quarterback of this team, and they have life. The Seahawks and the Giants. In this one, the Seahawks beat the Giants, who are 6-2, 27-13. A couple of miscues that were costly for New York. Geno Smith looked decent in this one, 212 yards and two touchdowns, and really it was about for the Seahawks, it was about a ground game. With this stud that they have, Kenneth Walker, just whenever they needed something, he was moving the ball. He ended up with a touchdown, and the crowd loves him. He probably is the new favorite, I think, for the Seattle Seahawks fans. That was a very, very big win for them. And then the Packers and the Bills. It was about the Bills beating the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, hello. Where are you? 27-17. Josh Allen is the real deal, but we knew this already. 218 passing yards and a couple of TDs. Diggs, one of his favorite targets, with a touchdown. And just the Bills are doing what they've done so well. Diggs can burn defenders, and he's clutch, and that's exactly what he did when he caught the touchdown. Burned a couple of guys, and the Bills end up with another very, very big win in front of the home crowd. So they're 6-1. I mean, can you believe that we're going into week 9? Week 9, we have the Bengals and the Browns on Monday night, but week 9 in the NFL is coming up. Wow. And week 9 starts with the Eagles and the Texans. Major League Baseball, the Phillies and the Astros split. The Astros, with a nice game against the Phillies, they cruised early, put a lot of runs on the board, and Philadelphia couldn't come back. So after a very big first game out of the gate for Philly, they now have that series split at 1-1. They're back in action on Halloween night in Philadelphia, and we have a series. This could go 7. I don't know that it'll go 7, but it looks like this is going to be a battle. It's not going to be a layup for the Astros, and the Phillies are scrappy, and who knows. The Astros won that second game 5-2, and the Phillies ended up winning a thriller on Friday that went into extra innings, 10 innings. Philly won that 6-5. So Minute Maid Park was definitely alive and well. Strange, but Justin Verlander had the start for the Astros, and he just doesn't get the wins in the World Series. 6 times he's had those key moments, and 6 times he's lost. And that first game against Philadelphia was another one of those times for him where he just didn't have it, gave up too many runs, and it unraveled, and Houston did come back, and that was a game that they could have won if for one big catch. But the key point here is this is definitely, definitely a series. And in college football, it was another interesting week in college football. Ohio State and Penn State, of course. Ohio State beats Penn State 44-31. Georgia with a big win over Florida. They're number 1 in the nation, 42-20. So they call it the world's largest cocktail party, and so no disappointments there. Tennessee is 3rd ranked. They just smothered Kentucky 44-6. Michigan had their way with Michigan State 29-7. They're 4th in the nation. Oregon 42-24 over California. I know a lot of fans listening for that score, and there were a slew of other games that we don't have a chance to get to, but we will later this week. We'll talk a little more college football in the Man Cave. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marussa reporting. Shocked family members collected bodies, parents searched for children, and the country sought answers on Sunday after at least 153 people were crushed to death when a crowd in South Korea surged in an alleyway during Halloween festivities. A man threw gasoline bombs attached with fireworks at a center for processing migrants in the southern English port of Dover on Sunday and then killed himself. The attacker, a white man in a checked shirt, drove up to the center in a white seat sports utility vehicle at around 11:20 in the morning. He got out and threw three gasoline bombs, one of which failed to go off. More than 300 Iranian journalists have demanded the release of two colleagues jailed for their coverage of Mahsa Amini, whose death in custody triggered protests, posing one of the biggest challenges to ruling clerics in decades. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Joins us now. He's written a very interesting book, and he's the perfect guy to do it, and we're going to explain why in this interview. It's called The Simplified Short Bible, a short chronological summary of the Old and New Testaments. Peter, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here.
You and I talked off the air, and you've had an interesting background working, like, at one point for the Government Accountability Office. You did studies all over the world, so you dealt with a lot of different people. And I think in your profession, and you can tell us more, but you had to simplify things, didn't you?
Yeah, that was what I did for about 3 decades. I took on major issues, complicated issues, and tried to summarize them, well, study them for a long period of time, and then simplify them and put them in kind of lay language for busy people. So sometimes I'd be working with a team for, say, a year on a particular topic, and we'd have thousands of pages of notes and documents, and we had to make sense of it all and then write something that was maybe 100 pages long or maybe even 50 pages long. So that was what I did for more than 30 years. And as I got close to the end of leaving one particular profession, I thought, what am I going to do next? And COVID was about, it just started taking effect, and I had time. And so I thought, well, I think what I'll do is I'll try to take my skills and simplify the Bible, because I found that the Bible was very long and complicated and difficult to understand, written out of several thousand years ago, lacked certain details that I thought were important for people to know about. So I took that on.
So how do you do that? I mean, we just set up the skills that you have. How do you break that down? Do you just start looking at stories? Do you start looking at passages? Obviously, that's part of it. But how do you go about that undertaking?
Well, I first have to have kind of the big picture in mind. So I need to understand the whole story before I can actually put it into a storyline that makes logical sense. So, you know, luckily I've been studying the Bible for about 50 years, and I've read hundreds of books and heard thousands of sermons, so I pretty much know the story. But to me, it was always a little bit fuzzy. It was like having the pieces of a puzzle spread out on the table and not really understanding how they all fit together. Plus, there was no box to look at to figure out what it was I was trying to put together. So I actually had to study the Bible in a different way and think about what are the themes here and what's the storyline, what's the plot, who are the characters, how does it all fit together? And so once I was able to identify those main themes, there's probably 10 or 15 of them, I was then able to figure out what parts of the Bible I needed to keep and what areas needed to be amplified. For example, between the Old Testament and New Testament, there's about 400 years where nothing is described. And to a normal person who is reading a book, they start at the beginning and they read it to the end. But that's not the way the Bible was put together. There are 66 separate books that all got put together in a very unusual order. And so I had to understand those themes and then figure out what that flow was and then fill in the gaps. So that 400 years between Old Testament and New Testament, the Greeks came around, the Romans came around, and people at that time knew that, but we didn't have that knowledge. So that was totally left out of the Bible. So I had to fill in those kind of gaps. And I also had to explain some of the key concepts that people at that time knew, but we don't know it. For instance, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a reference to helping people by keeping burning coals on their head. Well, we don't know what that means. It actually is a good thing, but we think of it as somebody who's trying to burn somebody else or do them harm. It's not like that at all. So I needed to see those themes and then explain them in a way that a person who was not familiar with the Bible would understand.
Yeah, the burning coals. Well, you're right. That's absolutely what you think of when you, well, I mean, what do you think of when you think of that? So see, you're not going to tell us everything, but it's too much suspense here. What does that mean? The heaping burning coals?
Yeah. Well, so it was in the context of helping somebody. Like your enemy wants you to do something and says, you know, if they ask you for your shirt, give them two shirts. And by doing this, you're heaping burning coals on their head. Well, at that time, people were making fires for warmth out of coal or, you know, kindling. But when a person was running out of coals, they would go to other people's homes and say, can I borrow some coals? And eventually, you know, you had enough to get your fire going. At that time, they carried things on their head, like they do now in many parts of the world.
Sure.
That's what they do. So when you heap burning coals on their head, you're actually giving them lots of coal for their fire so they don't have to go around to lots of people. So it's a really extravagant way of treating somebody who's actually your enemy, which is, you know, love your enemy. I mean, that's one of the themes in the Bible. So the heaping burning coals is actually loving your enemy in an extravagant way. And by doing so, it actually causes that enemy to think, what's going on here? Why am I treating this person in a bad way? And it actually can result in a more peaceful relationship between the two parties.
So interesting. How many people have gone through that and have no idea? They just skim over it and have no idea whatsoever what that means, and you just explained it so brilliantly. So, again, this is the Simplified Short Bible, a short chronological summary of the Old and New Testaments. And you talk about 10 to 15 themes, you know, main themes. And so, obviously, people need to get it, and then they can find out what they are. But tell us another one.
I think many of the themes are very relevant to today's world. And one of them is how to treat people who are disadvantaged or immigrants or refugees or the poor. And one of the themes in both the Old and the New Testament is compassion for people who are disadvantaged in some way. And you see that it goes throughout the whole Bible. And to me, that's something that we need to hear because we seem to lack compassion for people who need help.
Yeah, well put. That's it. I mean, and you see that weaved in, but I think, again, that's something that may get lost in some of what we don't understand because of the way, as you say, the Bible is written. What do you ultimately hope, and you're saying it, that people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope people understand the big picture. And I would say that when I started this project, even though I had been studying the Bible for 50 years or more, I still didn't really understand it. Being a Christian, I knew the New Testament very well. But the Old Testament kind of was like little bits and pieces that seemed to relate to the New Testament, but it really didn't hold together. And so when I did this, when I took this project on, I ended up seeing a logical flow of ideas that unfolds over time. And it begins, it has a definite beginning, it has a definite end. We haven't gotten to the end yet, but these themes kind of unfold over time, over several thousand years with lots of different characters. And I want people to see what those themes are. I didn't get them. My parents were involved in Christian ministry, non-denominational ministries of various types all over the world for more than 60 years. And I would say that they did not understand all of it. They focused mainly on the New Testament and the person of Jesus and what happened to him and how he can change people's lives. But they didn't see the big picture in other areas. It's a little bit like going into a movie that's 3 hours long and you come in and only see the last hour. You've missed the first 2 hours, and you can still kind of get a sense of what the story is about, but you miss the richness and the connections to the past. And so I'm hoping that by having a shorter book that is written in chronological order and explained, has some of the important things filled in, so a person who's never kind of read the whole Bible will see these themes and see the flow of ideas and finally get the big picture.
Yeah, that's a perfect summary of that. And we want to say, too, 90% of the profits, right, go to nonprofits?
Yes, I've set up a family foundation called the Bylsma Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And the profits from the sale of this book and other books related to it, for instance, I'm having it translated into Portuguese and Spanish and French and German and other languages. I also have a student version. There's also a longer version. Not the simplified short Bible, but just called the short Bible. All the profits, well, 90% of the profits from the sale of these books will flow into this nonprofit foundation. Mm-hmm. And then we will use those funds to support, the poor in spirit, to promote justice, to help spread the truth around the world. So, I'm not interested in getting wealthy off the sale of God's book.
Right, you want people to know, yeah.
I want people to know the story, and then yep. I want to be able to use the profits to continue to help the world be a better place to live.
Yep, I love it. All right, you can go to authorreputationpress.com. You can pick it up there or wherever great books are sold, Amazon, etc. Thank you.
And theshortbible.com is our website where different versions of the book can be purchased.
Excellent. Peter, thank you so much.
Okay, Kate. Thanks.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
So the title of the book is Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders. Wow. Here's what I like. Successful servant leaders. Wait till we dive into this with David Zechman. He is the author of this book. We had a great off-air conversation where we started talking in the very beginning about where he started and what his goal was, which was a really lofty goal to be a CEO. And, of course, he achieved that, but he started at the bedside right there from the very beginning in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, this isn't the healthcare industry. So, David, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Kate.
So finish that story for everybody, because I love this. You did have that goal about becoming the CEO, and you did achieve that. But I think the difference probably for you and why this book, it was in you, is because you started right from the very bottom, so to speak.
I did. Thank you. I'm very proud of that. It's a little bit of a unique situation. I started my career as a high school teacher and a coach in football and track, and I loved it, but decided that I want to do something different, and I answered an ad to get into healthcare as an on-the-job trainee respiratory therapist in Cleveland, Ohio, which is my hometown. And so I started at the bedside, but as I was working, I enjoyed patient care, but I thought, you know, I had this pull, this yearning for leadership. I thought I could make a difference with a servant leadership style as I did as a teacher and coach.
and decided that I set a goal that I wanted to be a CEO of a hospital. So I started working. My first management position was as a night shift supervisor in respiratory therapy, and I was a working supervisor and decided that in order for me to grow it, I'd have to leave Cleveland, my hometown, and moved to Kansas City and worked for a big, large healthcare system there for 10 years, and then to Louisville and then back to rural Missouri as my first time CEO, and then northern Michigan when I worked for McLaren Healthcare. So I went from the bedside working nights with a loyal, dedicated group of nurses to be a CEO, and I never forgot that. It was something that I felt was always something to my advantage in my leadership because I had a strong empathy for people that had to do the real work of healthcare, and that's healing patients.
Yeah, there you go, the real work of healthcare. So behind this book, what drove you to write the book?
Well, when I retired as a hospital CEO in January 19, I still had this, again, I had that pull again like I did when I got in healthcare and said, you know, what can I do to make a difference in terms of leadership? And I felt like I had unfinished work. So I decided that I would write a book. And I was encouraged to do that by friends and associates and decided that it was time to share that passion. And I read a couple other books. I interviewed 30 leaders, all the way from CEOs of large healthcare systems to supervisors, and even the captain of the track team that I coached when he was a senior in high school. And so I felt like the other thing is that I really believe in the world we live in today. When I started a book, and that was right just before the pandemic, that employees want to be led, but they want to be led in a different way. And they want to be led, they want to be valued. They want their leaders to support their growth. They want their leaders to help them be successful. And quite frankly, I didn't think that was happening enough. And so I thought I would try this and share my leadership philosophy of that and go from there.
In the book, what will we learn? What will we find out?
Well, what we'll find out is that this style of leadership, number one, the goal is to help leaders today to remember why they got on the leadership. And it's a privilege to be a leader, and it's an honor to be a leader, to remember that again, to renew that vow to be the best leader, the best servant leader possible, and to refresh and to regain that passion and enthusiasm for doing the right thing, which I believe this is the right thing. In terms of treating people. I just spoke at a conference in a Corazon conference. It's a consulting company in Nashville on Tuesday and presented my book. And so many people came up to me afterwards and said that, oh, my gosh, this is so great. It helped me remember it. You know, it gave me more enthusiasm again to go back and I'm going to take your book and I'm going to go back and incorporate those values into my leadership style. It was very gratifying.
And see, like you say, 8 values. We're not going to tell everyone everything, but give us a couple of the values.
Okay. Well, the values were the number one of them was walk the talk. And walking the talk was rated by the people I interviewed as the most important value being a servant leader. So walk the talk means living and breathing love and compassion values in your daily leadership journey. If you're not walking the talk, there's absolutely no way that you're going to build that servant leader relationship with those you lead. So that was the most important one they rated. The second one was communication and practicing regular and consistent communication tactics that include genuine encouragement and honest feedback. I share in the book that the CEO is short for being chief executive officer. And in reality, a CEO should be the chief encouragement officer.
And oh, yeah.
I asked the question in the book, how many of you had too much encouragement in your life? And, you know, so everybody responds to encouragement. And so what you gain from this is, as a leader is that you gain greater job engagement, more productivity, better organizational results, and better results both for the person you lead as well as yourself. So in the world of the great resignation that's going on and the fact that employee retention has risen to the top of every CEO in the country now, this is a tool and a tactic to ensure that.
Oh, yeah, boy, now more than ever, the quiet quitting, like you said, the great resignation. How do you keep good employees? How do you keep good talent? Yeah. How do you find good talent? And, boy, encouragement, I so agree. What a great question. And then to flip around what CEO is, what do you hope people walk away with when they read Driven by Compassion, Eight Values for Successful Servant Leaders?
Well, what I hope is that, as I said, you know, I hope that it makes them rethink how they are interacting with the people they lead, and that it will create, again, as I said earlier, greater productivity, certainly job retention, as we just said. You know, there is a shortage of workers, and so we have to do a better job as leaders of retaining our employees, especially the strong ones. Now, this style, by the way, being a compassionate servant leader doesn't mean hugs and kisses. And really what it does is it demands accountability, but it demands accountability in a different way, in a compassionate way. And the other thing about it is, Kate, is that it's very enjoyable. It's fun. I would rather have fun and enjoy my time as a leader, seeing the people I lead grow and see their happiness and see their satisfaction than not. I can tell you, share a quick story with you. When I was doing rounds in one of the hospitals I led, I walked into the laundry. How many people go into the laundry, right? And I said, I came in and they said, Mr. Zechman, do you know how to fold our laundry? And I said, no. I said, can we show you? I said, sure. So I said, and I was terrible. They were laughing and I was terrible, but they do such an important function and we had so much fun. And I have to say this, me going in there and doing their work with them, do you think that made a difference in terms of the value they feel to the organization? Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, because you were there.
I was there. It's one of my favorite CEO stories, and I relish that forever. I didn't care what happened the rest of the day. So I was very happy after that, and it was very gratifying. But I hope that, again, it's time to change leadership. It's time to help people be successful. And if you help people be successful, the people that you lead, then you're going to be successful. And it just makes sense.
Yeah. And now more than ever, boy, especially coming out of what we've just come out of, I think this is vital, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of tension and worry from the pandemic. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, hyperbole here, but the pandemic, as we all know, has probably changed things forever in many ways. And I think that in a good way, the pandemic will make leaders look at how they treat people differently, how they need to treat them appreciably and positively, and maybe more than we did in the past. Maybe we took our leadership for granted in the past. And leadership is a gift and a privilege, and we should never forget that.
Yeah, so, so well said. And again, I love the title, Driven by Compassion, Eight Values for Successful Servant Leaders. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you, David, so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Kate, for allowing me to share my passion with your audience. And I'm honored that you asked me.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.